All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning. It is December 7th. Can you believe it? Time is just flying by. I want to start us off this morning with a couple of scriptures. I know Pastor is going to be preaching today, to be a fool or not to be a fool. We're going to talk a second about peace. In Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Although we see what's coming, we see what's on the horizon, we hear the wolf growling at the door, we know that we can have peace in the midst of the storm. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I woke up this morning. I was like, thank you, Lord. I have another day to be living. I'm alive. I have peace today. I have a husband with me today. I have a home. You know, I woke up with a thankful heart. You know, like I was telling you guys yesterday, I am every day fully aware of the times that we're living in, and I am grateful. Because God will always be there tomorrow. He will be there tomorrow. So we can praise Him in our todays, knowing that He'll be over there too, no matter what is in store for us. Amen. So that gives us hope. See, Christians have hope. Like when I was homeless all those years, what separates me and a lot of Christians, when they go through challenging times like that of homelessness or whatever, is that they have Jesus. That's the key element. This is why when we minister to people, we do it all, you know, with the heart of hope. We all have hope. It doesn't matter. All of the problems that are in our life at this time, all of the things that we're facing or may face in the future, the difference is having that with or without Jesus. So out of all the needs that people have, it's always Jesus first, because He is their partner, you know, that wants to help them. You don't have the solutions to everything that everybody needs when you're out ministering to people, but you have the thing that they need more than anything, and that is Jesus. And you can introduce Him because you know Him, you know, and then He takes them from there. It's like you're saying, Jesus, I'm meeting this person, and I thank you that they have come across my path. But Lord, I give them to you because you will take care of them from here. I mean, what good is it to satisfy a temporary need and not give them the eternal need? You see what I mean? Okay, so that's my encouraging word today. And before we get started with our worship this morning, I do have a little bit of ministry news I would like to talk to us about. One is we are doing the 40-day fast again for 2026. This is going to be like the most important one we have ever done. The most serious and the most important, because 2026 is the year of transition. So it's D-Day, you know, and we're going to have to have less of us and more of him, because our bodies are a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And that's what the 40-day fast is. You are giving your body as a sacrifice to the Lord of the first fruits of the year. And it's 40 days. You start out water only if you can. And then you go to, you from that point forward, after you've done all you can do on the water, you fluctuate back and forth on your food. So you may do just juicing, or you may do the Daniel fast, or what we call the ministry fast, which is basically just fruits and vegetables and white meats, you know. But you'll go back and forth, whatever you feel led to do throughout the process. Some people say, well, you know, because of my physical health, I'm already on a diet, so I have to remain on that diet. No problem. Okay, well, what else do you have that you can give the Lord as a sacrifice? No TV, no, you know, whatever it is that you want to give up for 40 days. That's what it's about, is you're giving him your sacrifice. It's like laying your Isaac down, you know, for the first fruits of the year. And it makes a world of difference. So I encourage you to do it with us. We do it as a corporate fast. We start on New Year's Eve. We gather together for a New Year's Eve service at 10 o'clock. And then we'll read scripture and we'll pray and maybe watch some videos or whatever. And so I encourage you guys, I will get the sign-ups up this week. I'm just letting you know as a church. But I'm getting the sign-ups up this week, and you can go ahead and sign up to be a part of the 40-day fast. And then what we do is we do prayer calls every day, Monday through Friday. And throughout that time, and the way God has done in the past is he spoke to us almost every day. It's a very intense time of really focusing on God. What do you have to say about us for this new year, you know? So I will be getting that posted this week, okay? Another bit of news about the ministry is that because of the discovery, we've had three major discoveries this week in the news. Three major things that have happened that's a game changer for every human. Okay, one is Truth AI, which is the government's judge and jury online. So they're zoning in on people that are any part of the narrative of what they're trying to put out. So our time has come. And the other thing is the global ID. Bill Gates and the World Health Organization has now officially put together a global ID. See, all of this will probably be rolled out. Truth AI is already here, so it's already... They're already shaming the media on the website, on whitehouse.gov, which is such a shame to our country. But and then there was some other major developer I can't think off the top of my head. But because of that, we're not going to do news publicly anymore. So we're going to finish this year out the way it is right now, but we're moving everything to just banned news. And where everybody will be under one umbrella, and we're separating it from ministry. The ministry's website, GOM.us, will be only ministry. And then Patreon, since that is the public face, will be for the public to be able to have access to us. And then the news will be behind closed doors, underground. So right now, people are being vetted to be put in there, because in the banned news, those people are vetted. I know all them people, and I trust them. And so I've already got people contacting me wanting to join. So this is the time to transition away from Patreon as far as the news goes. because I'll still do the public stuff there, you know, with my books and preachings and stuff like that. But it will not be news anymore. Also, we're deleting our archives over there that we have on Patreon. All of the news archives are coming down. On the website, all of the news is coming down. Beginning in 2026, there'll be no more public news. So there'll be no more links or anything like that for people to refer to. You know, like the way I've been doing it. And so, Pastor and I, you know, we prayed about it and we've come in agreement that this is how we want to go forward. So I am, the people pulled together and donated for me a piece for my computer for me to be able to continue doing graphics and stuff on the computer like I need to. So that comes in on Wednesday. And so on the band news, I will still be able to remain the same. I'll still be able to go live and show the news, do emergencies, do the emergency contacts and all that kind of stuff. But that is just done under my personal name, not the ministry, if that makes sense. If you have any questions, you can contact us. Also on the website this week, a new development is we put up there an opportunity for counseling. For people to contact us for counseling, because we do counsel people all the time. We just haven't made it like an official deal. But if we're going to press in harder into ministry, you know, we want to make that available for people for prayer and to counsel about, you know, help with their journey. And we do love being with people on their journey, like Darcy. You know, what God has done in Darcy's life, Leslie's life. You know, we just love being a part of seeing God move in your life and us being able to pray with you and partner with you and, you know, just see God move, because we don't have the answer, but we know who does. And so when we talk to him about it, we just kind of sit back and watch and see how he does it. And it's really amazing to see how he does. And Miss Mama D over there, who's a mighty woman of God, who's always having, God's always given her dreams and stuff. Like one day she had a dream that this man came to her door and was trying to rape her. Do you know that the next day a stranger came to her door and was knocking, and she told her grandson, do not go to that door? Bam. That's the kind of God we serve. Yes, it is. And then you got Darlene over here. Darlene is very involved in her church. We're so proud of her. I have known Darlene since 2020. And this girl has grown so much. And it just, I tell her all the time, she just makes me so proud to see how she's doing in her church and everything. And then Tabitha, you know, Tabitha's journey of her personality and her insight and her wisdom and being with us on the prayer calls. And I mean, you guys are just so amazing. Miss Carla, who's the most cheerful giver I have ever seen in my life. She is a perfect example of a giver without hesitation and a cheerful one at that, that is happy to help. She's very, I mean, I don't know how to explain. I've never met anybody that's, she always reminds me, don't forget to do the offering at church. All you guys' journey is so different, but it's so awesome to be a part of you guys' life. And don't forget as well, like I said last night, I have never been about numbers. So I don't care if we just have 5 people or 30 or 1,000. Everybody is important. Amen. Okay, now one final story and then we'll get started. Okay, God has been speaking to us personally to downsize. So we've been downsizing and been selling some junk. So we have been trying to fix up Dennis's van. That's the only vehicle we have left. And so we took it and all we have was $500 cash. Well, they kept keeping it. We knew they charged $100 an hour. Dennis sat there for 12 hours. I was sweating like a mug. I'm like, oh, my world. We've only got $500. God help us, you know. And the guy come out there and said, sir, when we took your engine apart, we found this envelope that's a bank envelope. And they handed it to him. And do you know there is exactly enough money to pay the rest of that bill off? Just cash that happened to be lost over the years and stuck in the engine all them years, waiting for the moment that we needed it. We're talking like $375 or something, you know. So anyways, God is good, and he came through when we needed it. So the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. All right. Now, I promised you guys last week that since we're here at the Christmas season, that we're going to sing a couple of Christmas songs every day till Christmas. Not every day, but every Sunday. So today we're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. Okay, here we go. First, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the awesome opportunity to be able to sing. Thank you that we have lungs to sing. Thank you that your word says that when two or more are gathered in your name, Lord, that you are in the midst of them. We thank you, Lord, that you are here. You are bearing witness. We thank you, Lord, for the angels bearing witness to our praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Isn't that beautiful? For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Isn't this beautiful? how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Isn't that beautiful? O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The stars go by tonight. Oh, that is so cute. All right, what about this one? Everybody knows this one. Joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. This is bringing back memories of when I was a kid. No more let sins and sorrows grow. No thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Never heard that before. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Yay! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those songs bring back so many memories. All right, well, I am finished with my portion of the sermon today. Let's just all stretch our hands right now towards Pastor. And I still just want to praise the Lord for our pastor, the way that God ministers to him through the week, wakes him up. Oh, what a blessing it is to walk in there in the middle of the night and to see him sitting there studying. It's like the most beautiful sight of my eyes. You know, it's like, Lord, thank you so much that I get to see a real pastor, you know. And so I just really honor him today. Let's pray. Lord, we all come together in agreement, Lord, over Pastor. We just stretch our hands to him right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for waking him up and imparting into him, Lord, giving us this fresh manna every Sunday, Lord. We're so blessed to see what you have given us, Lord. Lord, bless him. Heal his body, Lord. Give him rest, Lord. Give him peace. And Lord, we just thank you for anointing him today from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Lord, we honor him today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor, well, you've got the floor, sir.
Hello.
Oh, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound very good. You've got the floor.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for your beautiful songs. And all that you do. Amen. I guess I just want to, it's been a, oh, the start of the week, I guess, was pretty crazy, you know, getting this work done on my van. And so I just want to express that a little bit more that, you know, God was so faithful. And, you know, I took my van in just to get a tune-up, you know, with the rigged $450 or something like that. Pretty soon it was up to five, and we're like, okay. And then I went down there at 7:30, and I didn't get out till 7 at night. So this whole time sitting there was, okay, now what? Now what? You know, and he comes in, you know, about 4 hours, 5 hours into the working on my van while he was jumping from my vehicle to three other vehicles back and forth, him and his guy. So they weren't just always just working on mine. But he comes in and he says, I have good news and bad news. Let me give you the bad news first. And then he told me that I had a bad injector. And so that was going to be more. At least that's what he thought. Well, actually, he said maybe a distributor. And so they had to go get one. And okay, well, that was going to be another almost $150. So there it's going to take us over $500. And all we had was $500. And then he says, and the good news, and then he hands me this envelope. He said, I found this when they on a van in the between the seats, there's like the motor, a thing that covered part of the motor, you know, the little dash thing. And he goes, this was down in behind that. So it's almost like it fell down into the motor, but it was stuck there. And he hands it to me, and it was an old bank envelope with over $375 in it, right around there. And I thought, oh, wow. You know, it was laying in there probably 4 or 5 years. And so I thought, wow, that will pay for this. And so then he goes out, and he's working on it, and time's going. And I thought, okay, all they had to do is put that in there. You know, a simple tune-up, it should have been about 3 hours. And, you know, and I'm sitting there for 4.5, 5 already. And I thought, okay, well, just do what you got to do, trying to be patient. And then they thought they had it. And, you know, he comes in and says, we're almost, you know, she comes in and goes, he's almost got it. Well, I'm sitting there for another hour. And then he comes in and they took it out for a test ride and come back, and it still sounded funny. And then he comes in, he goes, he's pretty sure it's a fuel injector. But then it was 6 o'clock. And he says, but we'll test it and see. Well, we're up to, with that other thing, we're up to almost $800. And so with the $375, we could pay this bill. And we're like, okay. But now, if it's an injector, it's even going to be more money. But they won't be able to do it today. You know, we have to come back. And so he comes back about, you know, after he was testing for the injector. He goes, yeah, it's got one bad injector. You know, it's going to be a couple hundred dollars. And, well, it's actually about $80 just for the part. And then you got to get gaskets and this and that. So it's going to be another $300-$400. And then it's like, well, you know, if you're in there to do one, maybe you should do them all. And or just the one, I guess here I got a note here. One was like around $500. And if you do them all, it'll be about $1,000. Well, no, about $800. And so here we are, wondering, what are we going to do? We're going to do just the one or all of them? And anyway, so pray for us to make a wise decision on for sure what we're going to do. We have another guy giving us a price and looking at it also more close. And that's a long story. But anyway, we're thankful for the money that we found and to get us out of there and got that taken care of. So praise the Lord. Anyway, the topic today, to be a fool or not to be, one of the scriptures I was thinking about earlier in the week was, and I did a message on this quite a while back, Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. And I was thinking about that scripture, you know, because everything we're seeing is a, you know, all this delusion and deceit coming out of the, you know, the media and the White House, just churches and everything. It's a bewitching. You know, and it's just every day you can see it more and more and bigger and expand. And it's like, wow. And I was thinking about this. Well, when I was thinking, the word foolish popped in up. You know, it's like foolish, these foolish Galatians. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to look into that word fool. You know, because, you know, in Matthew, it tells us, you know, be careful who you call a fool. Because you're, we're going to get to that scripture. Anyway, I want to read some stuff about fool. So I looked this word up in three different dictionaries. Usually I just use one or two, but I thought, well, I'm gonna look in all three of my dictionaries. Plus, I've got a generic dictionary. You might say it's not really a Bible dictionary, but I want to look into this word fool, because in Psalm 14. You want to turn to Psalm 14. This is a powerful psalm. In the very first verse, it really hits hard. And then when you read down, it's a short psalm, but it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Wow. And check out that word heart. A fool that said in his heart, there is no God. So he might not be this fool, this person, man or woman, might not be saying it out of his mouth that, you know, there is no God. But his actions, what he's doing, his behavior, you know, that's what, you know, is coming out of his heart. You can see from the heart through his behavior and his actions and whatever. And they are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There's none that doeth good. You know, so any fool that says in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt. They are abominable. They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. Verse 2, the Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. And there's that big word, if. To see if there are any that did understand and seek God. Are they understanding what's going on? The delusion, the deceit all around them. You know? And this is for today. How many people out there are living in this delusion? The great delusion of the latter days, the end times. Verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. And when I was looking at this verse again this morning, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? A lot of these people of, you know, that workers, these workers of iniquity, who are in high places in the church, in the government, in different systems of this world. And everybody looks upon them as, you know, really cool, big, you know, wise people or whatever. But really, The Bible says they have no knowledge. You know, and the knowledge we're talking about here is the Word of God. Because if they had true knowledge, God's Word hid in their hearts, they wouldn't be workers of iniquity. Verse 5. Well, wait a minute. I want to go back up here. Who eat up my people as they eat bread. These workers of iniquity with no knowledge, they're fools. They eat up my people as they eat bread. So as I'm looking at this as the people that just in their daily lives, you know, they're eating bread and drinking and being merry and just their daily lives. These workers of iniquity, they're eating them up. They're setting them up. They're, you know, they're plotting against them. Verse 5. Were they in great fear for God is in the generation of the righteous. You know, there were they in great fear, reverence for God is in the generation of the righteous. These workers of iniquity, these fools, you know, they don't have any fear of God. They don't reverence God. But they that do is in the generation of the righteous. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, ye have slammed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. You know, these workers of iniquity, these fools, they've slammed the counsel of the poor. You know, the little guy over here. The little, you know, person. They're not taking counsel. They're taking counsel from all these high people who think they know everything. And they're probably fools and workers of iniquity themselves. You know. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Lord, right now we just thank you. We thank you that you are our refuge and our shelter. As we come to you, Lord, we just thank you that you protect us and guide us in the ways that we should go. That you have your wings over us, like in Psalm 91 it says. And there's so many scriptures, Lord. So we just thank you that you protect us and guide us. In Jesus' name. Amen. But fool used in this psalm, fool is used as moral more than intellectual. Wait. I'm going to read the definition of this. What it says fool is in my Smith's Bible Dictionary. Fool, used of moral more than the intellectual deficiencies of one who does not fear God and acts without regard to his law. You know. Then I'm going to go to it's another dictionary. It's a pictorial Bible dictionary. And this is what it's the definition for fool says. And this is a little longer. In modern usage, a dolt or a simpleton, but in scriptures generally impeded or lack of moral good sense is implied as well. And then it says, again, it gives that scripture, Psalm 14:1, that we just read, the fool has said in his own heart, there is no God. And in Psalm 53, verse 1, they give reference to that, and it says this, Psalm 53, whoops. Oh, I had it marked. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. So more or less it's the same as Psalm 114:1. Solomon in his writings, Proverbs and Ecclesiastics, makes about 80 statements about fools, showing their emptiness, their conceit and pride, their boasting and self-confidence. And in 4 cases in Ecclesiastics, their thick-headedness and their worldliness. Ecclesiastics 2:19, Ecclesiastics 10:3 and 14. And I was going to read just one of those that kind of caught my eye. Ecclesiastics 10. Ecclesiastics 10:14. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? And when I read that verse, I thought, wow. A fool also is full of words. You know, we know someone who's supposed to be the big leader of this country. And that's who it reminds me of. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be. You know, we're seeing so much every day. Something new is coming up every day. Over and over it's been. These fools, full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be. You can't believe what they're saying. And it's not just him. It's so many of these people. In Matthew 23:17, we read how the Lord called the scribes and Pharisees fools. You know, it's not implying intellectual stupidity, but spiritual blindness. Men can be clever in mind, but at the same time, fools in spiritual matters. And that comes from my Pictorial Bible Dictionary, copyright 1963, 64, and revised 1976. You know, and if you want to turn, you don't have to turn there now, but make note of that. Ecclesiastics 10, which I just read that one scripture. But that whole chapter is about wisdom and folly. And we're going to talk about that word folly in a minute. And I want to stop here. And you know, years ago, I was going to do a study on the heart. And I know I've shared this before, that I was so overwhelmed because there's so much about the heart in the scriptures that it's like, wow, where do you even start? And the reason why I was going to do that, because I was going to go to a mission trip in Honduras, and each one of us, we were told that we'll have a time to give a little message. You know, we're going to go into some of these little villages, these little schools, and we'll get to give a message to these kids. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give a message on the heart. And I was so overwhelmed. And that's how I am with this word, fool. I mean, there's so much in the Bible. You know, if you start looking deep, you're going to go, whoa. Wow. And that's what I was doing here. It's like, man. And so then when I looked the word up in the dictionary, and then it gives them all these different things, it's like, wow. So it's pretty overwhelming. Now, in my other Bible dictionary, the word fool, it says this, represented by a large number of Hebrew and Greek words. The word is used in Scripture with respect to moral than to intellectual deficiencies. So these three dictionaries are, you know, pretty much saying the same thing. The fool is not so much one lacking in mental powers as one who misuses them. Not one who does not reason, but reasons wrongly. In Scripture, the fool, by the way, is eminence, you know. It's a person in, you know, high position, you know, rank or position above others. In Scripture, the fool, by the way, of eminence is the person who casts off the fear of God and thinks and acts as if he could safely disregard the eternal principles of God's righteousness. And then there's a list of scriptures that go along with what he just said. Psalm 14:1, which we just read. Psalm 92:6, Jeremiah 17:11, Proverbs 14:9, etc., etc. There's a whole bunch of scriptures. Yet in many passages, especially in Proverbs, the term has its ordinary use and denotes one who is rash, senseless, or unreasonable. The expression, thou fool, Matthew 5:22, is used in the moral sense, means wicked, and seems to be equivalent to judging one as worthy of everlasting punishment. Wow. So that's what why I said earlier, you know, we have to be careful when we use that word, fool, or call somebody fool. And then it says, see folly. And so I looked up folly. And this word is more, okay, well, let me just read it. Here's what it says. Silliness. Proverbs 5:23, etc. And it means emptiness, Genesis 34:7, and many others. Other terms in the original may be rendered thick-headedness, Ecclesiastes 2:3, senselessness, 2 Timothy 3:9, heedlessness, 2 Corinthians 11:1. I'm going to stop there for a second. Heedlessness. Wow. How many times in scriptures when you read and it say, take heed, you know, he's going to make a point and it says, take heed. And then he makes his point. That means to, hey, pay attention. Listen here. Do you hear me? Or what's the other word that I always highlight under behold? When you see that word behold or take heed, that means pay attention. But here, one description of folly is heedlessness. People aren't taking heed, they're not paying attention. It's folly. Well, let's read on here. Self-confidence, Psalm 85, 8. In stupidity, Job 24, 12. Jeremiah 23, 13. As a word in common use, folly is a weak or absurd act, and foolishness is a want of wisdom or judgment. And that was in my Unger's dictionary. And my last description of this is from my Thorndike Barnhart. It's a comprehensive desk dictionary. It's just your basic dictionary, but it's an old one. It's a 1951. And this is what the definition of fool: person without sense, unwise or silly person, clown formerly kept by a king or lord to amuse people, jester, person who has been deceived or tricked, duped. So that's some descriptions or definitions of fool or folly or that I looked up. And so going back to Galatians 3, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched ye, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You know, bewitching, you know, is forbidden by God. Leviticus 26, 1 Samuel 15, 23, 2 Kings 23, 24. You know, Galatians 3. Galatians 3, let's just turn here. You know, the first five scriptures in Galatians 3 is about freedom from the law. Or should we say freedom from being bewitched? And I just made that little note in here just a little bit ago when I was going back over my notes. I'm like, wow. You know, because in my Bible, there's a footnote at the top of this chapter. It says, you know, Galatians 3 chapter. Yeah, Galatians chapter 3. And it says freedom from the law. Freedom from what? From being bewitched. That's what's going on around the world today. And if you can't see it, you know, it's very sad. But here's what it says. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Freedom from the law, how? By faith in what? God's word. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? They didn't take heed, they didn't behold, you know, they didn't grasp the Holy Spirit working in their life. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Are you coming out of it yet? Did you behold? Can you see? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Amen. Wow. You know, living by faith and not and being not hindered. You know, if you want to read down to verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Oh, excuse me, this is, I want to go to, let's go to Galatians 5. Just flip the page here. Living by faith. Let's go down. So, Galatians 5 is about the first part of it. The first 15 verses is about living by faith and being not hindered. And I want to jump down to verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who is hindering you that you should not obey the truth? First Corinthians chapter 9. Let's see here. First Corinthians chapter 9. You know, that you should, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. You know, we're all running a race. We're all on a journey. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Obtain what? The crown incorruptible. That's what this these three, four scriptures are talking about. Let's read on. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And that word means self-control. And we all need some of that sometimes, don't we? And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. If therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and brought it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or rejected. So we have to be careful. That's kind of a warning. You know, discipline. But I keep under my body. It's discipline. We have to discipline ourselves, and that ain't easy sometimes. I know. You know, we have to sometimes step back before we say something or do something. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Well, actually, Matthew 5, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. when I first read that scripture many years ago, I thought, wow, it's all about the heart. You know, sanctify my heart, O God. Lord, we thank you that your word today, Lord, will sanctify our hearts, purify our hearts, Lord, and draw us closer to the truth, because your word says it's the truth that sets us free. The truth will set us free from folly and foolishness, Lord. So we thank you for your word, in Jesus' name. In Matthew 5, I want to go down to verse 21. You know, in a series of examples, Jesus shows that God demands righteousness intent as well as lawful acts. Righteousness is a matter of the heart, not only behavior. You know, you have to renew your mind to get your heart right in God's word. But let's read this, Matthew 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in anger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Whoa. Therefore, verse 23, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come up and offer thy gift. Kind of repentance. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the office, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And the uttermost farthing means 2 cents. A lot of money back then. But it's a matter of the heart. And let's see how to say this here. You know, in this scripture, in verse 22 again, let's go back up there. But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause. You know, I've read this scripture, I don't know how many times this week, and that kept sticking out at me, without a cause. You know, if you're going to be angry with someone without a cause, without a legit cause, you shall be in danger of the judgment. You know, we have to have I'm just kind of come to me, you know, a righteous anger. Means there is a real cause to be kind of angry with someone. But we got to take heed. We got to behold. We got to discipline ourselves not to be a fool, not to be foolish. Spit out a whole bunch of stuff. We got to step back. You know, think about it. Let's jump over to Mel. Let's read that on. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, and that means vain fellow. And I don't know what it says in your dictionary, or excuse me, Bible. Mine's a King James, and there's a footnote here that says vain fellow, that word. So who shall say to his brother, you know, vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. There again, there's a warning, shall be in danger. It's the second time it said that here in this verse, in this scripture, verse 22. Shall be in danger of council. You know, probably the Sanhedrin. How would you like to be put in front of them? But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger. There it is again, in danger. Three times it's used in this one scripture. In danger of what? Hell fire. So that's a pretty, you know, you might want to highlight that in red, which it is. These are Jesus' words. It's in red. Maybe highlight that anyway. That's a big warning. You got to be careful. You know, if we just go across the page here, and we're still in Matthew 5, starting with verse 1 to verse 12 is the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, and the Sermon on the Mount is what they call the Beatitudes. And I'm trying to look here. I had a note. You know, the Beatitudes means supreme happiness, bliss, blessing, supreme joy and fulfillment, and being in God's favor, a path to true divine happiness. You know, when we get our minds renewed in God's word and have a heart change, we are blessed beyond, you know, beyond our, and can be blessed beyond our imaginations. You know, wow. But the Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes. So if you want to really be blessed, let's just read this here. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into this mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall rival you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And you know, when I was reading this and thinking about this, and this come to my mind, it was like, wow, this is kind of the remedy not to be foolish, not to be a fool. You know, God's word. You know, if we want, you know, to be blessed beyond our imagination. Just like I was blessed this week. I never could imagine I had almost $400, you know, lost behind my dash thing in my van. And wow, look what a blessing it was. Never could imagine that would have happened. Thank you, Lord, for that favor. He knew it was all there all along, you know. You know, these words here in the Beatitudes, they're just not happy statements. You know, they describe the characteristic of those who belong to God's kingdom, promising divine blessings, even in the midst of hardships. You know, this week was going to kind of hard for us, you know. Money-wise, you might say, wow, how are we going to come up with this? You know, we're still digging, but, you know, promises, you know, divine blessings it was, amen. You know, these are so listed in the Beatitudes and elsewhere, you know, all through the Bible. Also, it's a stable state of being spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, especially in the context of God's favor and his coming kingdom. Amen. Whoa. You know, true happiness, you know, comes from spiritual humility and living a life focused on God's kingdom, not worldly power and possessions. Amen. In Psalm 38, verse 5, foolishness is a synonym for sin. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Psalm 38, let's turn to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. You know, all of Psalm 38, you know, David is calling out to God to take compassion of his pitiful case. And, you know, we know all about David. I was going to read all of this whole chapter, but for time's sake, I'm not going to. But I'm going to, you know, just read a couple of verses, but verse 1, the Lord rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. You know, David's calling out to the Lord. In verse 5, which I just read, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. He's repenting. He's calling out to God, you know, take compassion on me. You know, David begs God to stop disciplining him. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 2, let's go back up. For thy arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. You know, he's like, whoa. He's taking heed. Wow, look at my iniquity. Look at my sin before my God. You know, powerfully describing his emotional turmoil and physical sufferings. You know, verses 3 through 12. You know, he's confessing sin. His iniquities are before him. Verse 4. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. You know, David waits for the Lord's, you know, he's so troubled by his sin, but he's sitting there, he's waiting, and the Lord, you know, he's confident. You know, my God will help and save him. Verses 13 through 22, if you read that, you know. Verse 22, let's go down to verse 20. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. But go ahead and read that whole psalm today. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Proverbs 14:9. They make a mock of sin. Fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Proverbs 15:5. Now I'm just going to read a few of these. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Remember that scripture right there, because I'm going to come to some other scriptures or something that's going to take this scripture right to its place. A fool despises his father's instruction. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his soul. Wow. Proverbs 19:3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. And it goes back to what I was talking about early. You know, it's more about the heart. It's what's your behavior and how you're acting. Because that's what's in your heart. You know, Psalms 107, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Wow. Because of their transgressions and their iniquities, they are being afflicted. Let's turn to that Psalm, Psalm 107 once. Psalm 107, and that was verse 18, was it? Psalm 107, make sure I got the right one here. Yep. Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. That all manner of meat, maybe that's the all manner of God's word, his truth. Verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses, just like David. He sent his word, and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Whew. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Yes, thank you, Lord. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Amen, huh? Amen. You know, going back to Matthew 5:22, you know, we must be careful how we say or label someone a fool. When it says, be in danger of, again, I believe these are warnings. Warnings. Matthew 5:22 warns against unrighteous anger, escalating insults from a fool. Like when he says in danger of hellfire, to lesser slurs to his brother, like Rakai, meaning vain fellow, will be liable to the council and in danger of council. Again, that's the Sanhedrin. You know, we're going to be put before the Sanhedrin, or today, maybe we can say tribunals. What's our big national leader doing today and putting in place? Any of you following this ministry will know what I'm talking about. Showing that sinful anger and demeaning words are serious offenses against God and others. Not just physical murder, but in this verse emphasizes that God cares about the inner disposition of the heart, its attitudes, not just outward compliance with the laws, but it's a calling for purity of the heart and loving relationships. You know, and also this teaching is part of a broader call in Matthew 5 for radical love and reconciliation, urging believers to resolve conflicts quickly. Verse 24. And addresses heart issues. Amen. And I'm going to stop there for today. I think I have some more on this, but I guess I just want to read a couple more things. Proverbs 17:10. A reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes to a fool. I'm going to read that again. A reproof entered more into a wise man than 100 stripes to a fool. A fool's only hope of learning is when he has faced the consequences of his actions. You know, much of the pain in our lives comes simply because we will not listen. We will not take wise counsel, you might say. You know, children who do not listen to wise parents usually experience a lot of pain. And that's just like us. Children of God who do not listen to our Heavenly Father, that don't take counsel of His Word, usually experience a lot of pain. The most tragic person is the one who refuses advice, experiences pain, yet still refuses to learn from the consequences. Such people may be doomed for a life of pain. It's like the prodigal son. It wasn't until he was eating pig food as a slave that he came to his senses. Hardships has a way of getting us in touch with reality. Consequences are sobering. Now I'll make a note here. Mark 10, verses 17 through 27. Read those, and that goes along with what I just, with this Proverbs 17:10. And my last one, Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instruction, like the prodigal son. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. This is not a word. Wait, this is not the word fool as in Matthew 5, where it means a person who is worthless or no value. A fool here has Proverbs, in Proverbs 15:5, is a person who will not learn by instruction. Instead, he or she chooses to learn the hard way by experience. And in the process, must learn to face consequences of their actions. Again, sort of like the story of the prodigal son. So I guess I'm going to stop there for today. Lord, we just thank you once again for your word, Lord. There's so much about this, this word, the fool or foolishness, you know, and our actions and being foolish. So Lord, we just thank you for your word today, that your word will set us free from foolish acts and foolish gestures and all that kind of stuff, Lord. And we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And we thank you, Lord, that you will lead us and guide us in a way that's pleasing to you this day, Lord. Lead us and guide us in all our ways, Lord. That narrow path, that hard path, Lord. The hardships of life, Lord. We just thank you that you will guide us and bring us through those. And I ask that you bless each person here today that hears this message, Lord, that it will touch their heart. And they will dig deeper into your word, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. And God bless you.
Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much for encouraging us to walk not in the way of a fool. And I would like to... to be a fool or to not be a fool explores the choice between wisdom and foolishness. Often framed by the biblical book of Proverbs, contrasting the prideful, unteachable fool who despises instruction with a wise person who seeks knowledge, acknowledges their own limitations, and learns from their experiences. Basically, it's where it's an attitude of the heart, a posture, you know, humbling yourself and allowing yourself to be corrected so that we can be molded and made into God's image. Amen. That's one thing that I've noticed about truthers is, and I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day about this, because they seek so much knowledge out of online about everything that's going on. They get so prideful because they're puffed up with knowledge, and then they become a fool. And one of the signs that you see of a fool, as described today through all your scriptures and stuff, is that they will not listen. They talk. They won't listen. They overpower you. They're just very prideful. You know, and it's because they have so much in them that they want to just spew it all out on you. You know what I mean? So today is just really a warning, you know, to help us to, you know, pull out of the metaverse, pull out of a lot of that trutherism, you know, doing all the research and have a balance, you know, a balance. And you also have to know, Bride, that a lot of the things that you see online anymore have been taken over. You know, AI has taken over. It's even changing the Bible online, you know. So just be very careful, and it is much better to trust the written word than it is the electronic word, if that makes sense. All right, now, I almost have the... 40-day fast done for you guys to register. I will have that done within about 30 minutes, and then I will get that posted, and you can go ahead and register for the 40-day fast and everything. So let me just pray for everybody, and then we will stop the recording and, you know, open it up. If we can't take long today, though, because we have people coming to the house. But we will open it up for prayer and stuff. Okay, Lord, we just thank you so much for the word that was given to us today, Lord, from Pastor and from the throne about walking as a fool. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you search our hearts, because your word says that you are the searcher of man's hearts. We may think we're not being a fool, but we do want to humble ourselves to this word today and ask you to let us know. and to examine our hearts today, Lord. Yes. We thank you that you are the searcher, you're the healer, and we submit ourselves to you today under this word, Lord, to help us also to control our tongue in situations, Lord. Help us to have self-control in that area, Lord. And Lord, we just pray over every home today, Lord. We pray peace in the homes, Lord, yes. Joy in the homes. And we just thank you and give you praise, Lord, for all that you're doing in people's lives. We know that you're still at work, Lord. And we worship and praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
All right, so let me stop this.